such an odd time. I've been going to church for almost 40-50 years. 3 o'clock service. I've just never, never done it. But so exciting to see God's people gather together to worship the Lord. Is anybody excited to be here? Can you make some noise if you are excited? That wasn't exciting at all. Let me just try again before I talk about this magnificent topic of church. If you're excited to be here, could you make some noise if you're excited? This is my third worship service in this place today. I was here at 10:30, and I participated Church Unleashed service, and then we had a Korean congregation service, and then this service. My third service, and it's very different. Every worship service is different. But in the center of it all, it is the presence of the Lord and God speaks to you. That's what the worship service is about. Okay? In other words, I know it's a man speaking, but God placed me here so that you will hear from the heart of God. If you would listen with that kind of attitude, I think that would be the right attitude, okay? And today we're continuing on the topic. This is such a magnificent topic, church, okay? Why is it such a huge, grand topic? Because church is eternal, okay? It was in the heart of God even before the foundation of the world, Ephesians chapter 1. Before you existed, before Genesis 1:1, church was in the heart of God. Can you even imagine that? And here's another thought that really blesses my heart. As many as God has given eternal life, they will believe. And I will not lose any, the ones that Father has given me. In other words, church, he will finish his work. Can you believe that? Right? I don't know what your perception of church is. Okay, church is a place that you go to for an hour on Sundays. I mean, that's not a, you know, wrong thing, but that's completely off, biblically speaking. Okay, church is not where you go to. Okay, church is the body of Christ that the believers and the saints that we are made up of. Okay? And it started in the heart of God before the foundation of the world. And if you could imagine it, at the end of history, the church will continue in the presence of the Lord. So it's from eternity to eternity. Can I ask you, what's eternal? Okay? What lasts? And I shared a quotation from by C.S. Lewis last week. Whatever is not eternal will be eternally outdated. So just think about it. All those things that you are kind of like, you know, dying to have, longing to grasp. If it is not eternal, it'll be eternally outdated. If I were to give you, like, let's say a CD player, would you take it? Well, I think I would take it. You know, if I were to give you a cassette tape deck, would you take it? Hello? Would you take it, Sarah? No, Sarah said no. That's a garbage. Okay? That's only 20, 30 years old. Okay? It's completely outdated. What is not eternal is eternally outdated. And church is eternal. And it's in the center of God's heart. It's going to exist even after I'm gone. Even after you're gone, the church will continue. Okay, and God treasures the church. Okay, I want to give you a little bit of a review from last couple weeks because some of you joined for the first time. 2 weeks ago, in our first Sunday worship service, we talked about Matthew chapter 16. The word church shows up only twice in the Gospels, twice. So it's got to be an important place. Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said, I will build my church, okay? Such a loaded statement, okay? Who's I will? That's the great I am. The great I am. Jehovah, God Almighty, right? King of kings, Lord of lords. He said, I will. In other words, this will be done. And what is he going to do? He's going to build. Okay, he's going to build his church. And it's not anybody's church. It's not Korean church. It's his church. Okay? So we talked about that on the first Sunday here at Hicksville. And God has given such power and authority. And Jesus said, I'm going to give you the keys. Okay? Keys to the kingdom of heaven. And what does keys do? It opens and it closes. And then he said, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. In other words, the keys that church has, that Christ has given, will open the gates of hell. Who's behind the door of hell? The lost. Who's lost? Those who do not know Christ, and by grace do not believe Jesus is their only Savior and Lord. They're lost. It could be your family members, could be you, and could be your neighbors. And Matthew chapter 16 says, church, Christ has given the authority and the power to open the gates. How do you do that? It's the gospel. It's the truth. It's the word of God through the Spirit of living God. That was first week. Last week, we talked about Ephesians chapter 2, and we talked about this metaphor of building, temple, sanctuary. Lord, prepare me. You know that song? It's a great song, okay? And sanctuary is where the presence of God dwell in the Old Testament. But when it comes to in the New Testament, after Christ came, you are the sanctuary. Can you believe that? Can you handle that? If there is anything that is such a grand truth, that you, your body, your life, and we as collectively is the sanctuary of God. And we are joined together, grow together, okay, as a holy temple of God. And from that, we have this implication that church is a living thing. Living thing. It's not the organization. It's not the, like, a certain groups of the church. It's a living thing. Today, I want to continue on this teaching of church. And why is this topic so important? Because all of you have some sort of view of church. Some of you like it. Some of you don't like it. Some of you like certain aspect of the church. You like it. How many of you like bagels and pizza? Is that okay? Yeah. Some of you don't like it. You'd rather have kimchi and, you know, Korean food. I don't know. Okay. You have all these different conception and perception and ideas of church. But it is very important that we learn the church, the ecclesiology, this doctrine of church from the Lord himself. Okay. Who is the head? Can we get that screen working? If you can. Today, the topic for today's message is equip the saints of God. Okay, equip the saints of God. Okay, this week I want to talk about how church must function so that the church will become church. And it is stated in Ephesians chapter 4. Okay, here we go again. It doesn't work again. It's amazing. Let me just, okay, it works. Equipping the saints of God, and there is a statement, I will build my church, right? It's an incredible promise. Now let me continue, okay? Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians is the book that was written when Paul was in Rome in prison, okay? We've been studying Romans for about 8 months, and this is after writing Romans. So you can imagine kind of experience and maturity Paul has. Now he finally arrived to Rome, and he's imprisoned. He's writing this from prison. In other words, it's such a meaningful book, And the theme of Ephesians is, guess what? Christ and the church. Okay? If you know New Testament, what is the most important words in the New Testament? Christ and the church. In fact, arguably, it is the most important words in entire Christianity, right? Of course, other than God and, you know, Christ and the church. The theme of this book is Christ and the church, and it is made up of 6 chapters. And first 3 chapters, he writes the gospel and the doctrine, and chapter 4, 5, 6 is made up of application. Paul's writing style is always like that. He writes the doctrine, and then he explains how you need to live. So as a church, how do we need to live? Let me read it to you. Therefore, a prisoner, he's in the prison, right? Prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a manner worthy of the calling. How did you become a church? Through his blood, through his death. Do you know what word worthy means? Worthy means of an equal value. The blood of Jesus Christ, what could be compatible, equal value to that? Nothing, right? But churches, equal value. And the scripture is telling you to live a life worthy. How do you do that? What follows, okay? Live a life manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is only one body, the church, one Spirit. Just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and the Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. If you are a Christian, okay, Spirit of God lives in you and he has given you a gift, okay? What kind of gift? Some of you has given the gift of teaching. Some of you have given the gift of serving. So mercy, take care of sick people, take care of children. God has given you gifts. Do you know your gift? Okay, there's a way to know. Okay, and you should find out. And the scriptural teaching is, if you are a Christian and the Holy Spirit lives in you, Spirit has given you a gift. Okay, what is the purpose of that? So that we could serve one another, so that the church of God may be built. Okay, that's another message for later, but I wanted to mention that. Verse 8, therefore it says, when he ascended, we're talking about resurrection and ascension of Christ. We're not talking about, you know, head of the church is not a president of the United States. The head of the church is not the emperor of a empire. But the head of the church is the Almighty God, the King of Kings. And he's talking about that ascended Christ. When he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions? You know, he came, right? And through his death and blood, he purchased the church, okay? Do you think he would treasure the church? Absolutely, you better believe it, right? Also descended into the lower regions, the earth. Verse 10, he who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. Now, that's an introduction. Today's text is from verse 11. That Christ gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers, and here is the key verse that I want to explain, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, comma, for the building up of the body of Christ. Okay, that's the church. Church needs to function like that. That King of Kings, head of the church, gave pastors and teachers, and I'm one of the pastors, one of the teaching pastors of this church, and the Bible says Christ gave them to this church. And if you look at it like that, can you say amen? That was very discouraging, amen. Let me just try one more time. If you believe, Bible says, God has given pastors and teachers to this church. Now think about that meaning. God gave, Christ gave, right? And if you look at it like that, could you say amen? What's the purpose of pastors and teachers? Here's the key statement, equipping the saints of God. Equipping the saints of God. The word equip is pararutismos, okay? Don't worry about it, okay? It has three meanings, very important meanings. Number one, it means to equip. In other words, for a certain function, you need to be equipped. You need to be trained. Second meaning is something really, something you cannot figure it out by yourself. Believe it or not, it means perfecting the saints. And then the third and last meaning is preparing. Prepare me. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. That's the song, okay? But I want to explain equipping, perfecting, and preparing you to be the sanctuary. And it is through the ministry of the word. In other words, if you're a Christian, the church prepares you, equip you through the ministry of the word. That's the beginning and that's the foundation. Last week we talked about churches standing upon the cornerstone of Christ and built upon apostles and prophets, which means the word of God. And here is how church needs to function. If you are not being equipped the word of God, there is no church. Okay? And we're going to look at it in a little bit later. If you are not being equipped with the word of God, you remain as an infant. Okay? Now think with me. I mean, babies are cute, right? Babies, we love babies. Babies are cute when they're babies. But can you imagine 30-year-old baby, right? With diapers. 40-year-old baby. That's not so cute. You are not going to mature or perfected or equipped without the teaching ministry of the word. That's the foundation. Today we begin our new chapter for New Heart, okay? And I'm just so excited to be here because I really believe God will build this church. Can I just ask you, anybody with me on that? Could you say amen? God's gonna build this church. How? When church is be faithful to the teaching of the scripture. When the pastors and the teachers equip the saints of God. Now, I think what you need to see is it is for the saints. Okay, of course, saints means holy. How are we holy? Here's an incredible statement that Jesus said in Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew. He said, listen to this, be ye perfect as my heavenly Father is perfect. What? Be ye perfect as my heavenly Father is perfect. Christianity deals with perfection. Let me just ask you, right? When you believe by the grace of God, right, that you need a Savior, so you give all your sin and your trust to Jesus, and you impute, transfer your sin to Christ, okay? And the righteousness and the purity of Christ was imputed upon you, okay? That's how you're saved. We've been talking about that. Once you're saved, can I just ask you, how perfect are you in the sight of God? Let me ask you, how perfect? 70%? No. 80%? No. 90% perfect? No. But if you think about it, it's just, it's such a ridiculous term. How do you say 70% perfect? That's no perfection. But believe it or not, in the sight of God, you are perfect, perfect. We call that justification or salvation or, you know, positional perfection. That's how you're saved. How many of you do believe that? Can you say amen? When you believe in Jesus, when you transfer all your sin upon him and his righteousness upon you, how perfect are you in the sight of God? 100% perfect. So we call that positional perfect or justification. Now, we talked about glorification at the end of our salvation. The end of our salvation is, regardless of our work, we will be glorified. Okay? We sang it today. When we will sin no more, those who have been redeemed will sin no more. We will be like Jesus. We will be perfect, perfect. Okay? We call that glorification. That's the beginning and that's the end. And everything in between, we are being perfected by the Spirit. And we call that sanctification. Remember that? I know it's been a few weeks we did not talk about Romans, but that's Romans' gospel. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit. And how do you become more and more like Jesus? It is through the work of the Holy Spirit. Today we're looking at through the word ministry of the church, that you become more and more perfected, equipped. Okay? In other words, here's a implication that we could get. Church does not exist without the saints. Church is an absolute need of the believers. At the same time, without the church, you will not be sanctified. Okay? There's an absolute relationship. In other words, we already talked about this. Some people ask, why can't I just worship at home through TV and be a church? That's not a church. Church is a body of Christ. Okay? And you need, without the teaching ministry, without sacraments, without discipline, that's not a church. At least that's not a biblical church. Okay? So, that's where we begin. So if you look at verse 12 and pray that it'll be the future of our church, when you are being perfected, equipped, and then you will do the work of the Lord, and then the church will be picked up, will be built up. I was looking at, I was reading something yesterday. If you look at verse 12, I just need to go there. In the New King James translation, there was a comma here. Okay, there's a comma after to equip the saints, comma, for the work of ministry, comma, for the building up of the body of Christ. What difference does that make? I was reading, Jim Boyce, commentary. That one comma makes the whole thing very, very different. Because if the comma is there, it's the pastor's and teacher's ministry, teacher's role to equip the saints and do the work of ministry and build the church. But without the comma, it becomes a completely different thing. Okay? Without the comma, pastors equip the Christians and the Christians do the work of ministry and together we build a church. Which is the right translation? The latter. The point I'm trying to make is this. My job, my calling, my gift is prepare the Word of God and study it and digest it, and well prepare it, and give to you and teach you so that you will be equipped. And what happens then? You will do the work of ministry. Because Word of God comes into your life, and the Holy Spirit is working in your heart, and you will begin to know how to live and how to build a church. Let's think about what would happen if the Spirit of God is working in you so that you are doing the work of ministry. What kind of ministry would you be doing? I think these are the things that I thought about. When someone walks in, do you notice them? Some people notice, and some people don't notice. Some people greatly care, and most people care, but some of you don't care, right? But when the Holy Spirit is begin to minister to your heart, I think you begin to care for them. You begin to pay attention to them. When there is a sick person in the congregation, when someone didn't come, someone is kind of struggling, what would you do? You make a phone call. You write an email and ask him to have a coffee and have a meal. In other words, you begin to take care of other people. There's a great need of taking care of next generation people. We need Sunday school teachers. And you say, maybe I could get here a couple hours early and serve the church. Okay? And then there's going to be a people who's going to need ride. And you said, I volunteer. I'll take care of him. And you began to serve. And when you see other people who do not know Christ, maybe you will begin to invite and tell them to come and join. That's what's going to happen as saints being equipped. And can you imagine that? If this church began to function like that, what's going to happen to this church? This church will be built up. And that's the sequence, that's the dynamic of the church that God has prescribed in the scripture. For those of you been going to church many years, like myself, you know, we've been to so many church growth seminars, and I've been to many, actually. Okay? If you go to seminars like that, usually, you know what they do? They usually give you some sort of program, some sort of like gimmicks and technology, whatever, and try to draw the people. I mean, you know, I think can't hurt, but that's not what it says in the scripture. You know what the teaching of the scripture is? The church equipped the saints. In other words, that is the beginning of building the church. I don't know, we have, I mean, 50, 60, 70 people. I'm not sure how many people we have here. That's more than enough. When you begin to really be fed with the living word of God and Holy Spirit reigning, you would want to build a church and doing ministry. And can you imagine what this church will look like in the years to come? I'm very, very excited about that. If we try to skip that person, skip that step and give you like ministry without seeing you growing, let me just ask you, how many people, how many of you think like three-year-old could Sunday school? What kind of dumb question is that? Unless you are being matured, perfected, equipped, there's no way to handle job. I think it's very important that we see that sequence of equipping the saints of God, and saints do the work of the Lord, and then together with pastors and saints, we build the church of God. Amen? Amen? In other words, I need you to really respond to what the scripture is speaking. You need to be equipped with the word of God. You may be going to church all your life. Okay, let me just tell you something. If you are not being equipped and perfected and prepared with the word of God, you remain as an infant. Okay, that's a very difficult people to handle. It's love. It's great to have babies in the church. And we do pray for babies, but we don't want you to be the babies that you grow old and still remain as an infant. Okay, so that's the first step. And then what is the outcome of that? Verse 13. If that happens, if the church equips the saint and saints do the work of ministry and church is being built and there's an outcome. Verse 13 says, until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of Son of God and mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know what it says? Then we will have unity. People want to have unity in the church. People always talk about unity. And I've been doing ministry for some years, and people say, let's talk. I think what we are lacking is communication. Let's talk. Let's have meetings. Will the meetings bring unity? Absolutely not. Can you put 10 two-year-old and let them have a unity? Is that possible? Is that possible? Can we have 10 Bettys and have a unity? Yeah, I know Betty. Yeah, there's no way, right? 10 Bettys and they're going to have unity. Hey, let's sit down. Let's divide it evenly, right? No, they're going to fight all the time until we are being equipped. There's no unity. But when the saints are being equipped and you begin to mature and be perfected, doing the work of the Lord, then there's going to be unity. Along with that, you begin to experience Christ deeply in your heart. Isn't that what it says? Knowledge of Son of God, to mature manhood, to the stature of fullness of Christ. Now, that's referring to the church. Let me ask you this question. I asked this question to the Bible studies. How old do you think this church is? If this is one single person, if this church, New Heart, who's been around for 10 years, how old is this church? That's not a bad question. Okay, in fact, if you care about this church, you would ask that question. I'm a parent, okay? My children are all grown up and they happen to sit here, so I gotta be careful what I say, okay? But when they were growing up, guess what my concern was, my Ellen and I concern was? Their maturity. Are they becoming a mature human being, right? It's not just whether they go to good high school or good college. Of course, those are important, but most important thing in my mind, in Ellen's mind, was do they know Christ? Okay? Do they care and live as a human being? That's the most important thing. When God looks at this church, what is the most important thing do you think he's thinking about? Oh, 1,000 people. Oh, 20 people. Is that the most important thing? I don't think so. Are they growing to be what they are called to be? Are they human beings? Do they care about honor of God? Do they care about that person who's walking into door through that door? Isn't that what he would be thinking about? People? The growing church. I'm going to ask you this question, and I ask you to think about this question and answer. The second question I would like to ask you is, how old do you think you are? Okay, in human chronological age. 2-year-old act like a 2-year-old. 5-year-old, I don't think 5-year-old is ready to take care of anybody else. 10-year-old, at least you will get up and say hello to your mom and dad and begin to appreciate them, really appreciate them. 15-year-old, I would say you are old enough to take care of your younger siblings. I mean, you know, make simple food and stay home and take care of your younger siblings. When you're about 20 years old, done with college education, you have a vision and hope, something you want to do, right? When you're about 25-year-old, you're ready to have your own family. Okay, some of you passed that. And then you're ready to have your own children. When you're about 30 years old, you have some sort of goal in mind and you begin to press forward. When you're about 40 years old, man, you're established and you begin to take care of other people. 50 years old, where I am, I think it is the prime of life, ready to pour everything for something that matters. 60-year-old, begin to really try to finish well. 70-year-old, hopefully still try to finish well and live for something that matters. 80 years old, maybe you need to ready to go home. How old do you think you are? How old do you think this church is? The reason I'm bringing this up is without equipping the saints, this church will remain as an infant. I asked this question to 3 Bible study groups actually this week. And it was so interesting because I got the answers, okay? Some of them were very thoughtful answers. Some of them were very spontaneous answers. But the outcome was the same. Can you believe that? Okay? I asked them, how old do you think this church is? New Heart Mission Church, after 10 years. Okay? Make a long story short, putting the 3 groups together, this is the answer I got. Probably about 14, 15-year-old. Okay? I don't know whether you're happy with that answer, but I was very happy. I was happy that it wasn't like 70 years old, ready to just, you know, close the deal. But 14, 15-year-old. But one lady, deacon, shared this way, which I thought it was very, very encouraging. She said, this church looked like it's ready to move on to the manhood. As a teenager, ready to move on to the manhood. Right away, I was thinking about bar mitzvah. For those of you who have Jewish friends, okay, bar mitzvah is when a teenager commit themselves to the law of God, word of God, as an adult. Okay? It's a very encouraging time. Okay? It's not just the party bar mitzvah. The real meaning of bar mitzvah is that young adult is now ready to commit himself as an adult to the law of God and the word of God. And you know what? If you look at New Heart Mission Church like that, that's a very encouraging time. Is this church ready to commit to the word of God? With all my heart, it is. Okay? We're not going to try to just grow this church with techniques. And I don't even think you could do that, but we're not going to try to do that. We want to see every single person walk through that door. Okay? When we go out and try to evangelize, we want to see every single person, that person become a believer and follower of Christ, a saint. I think that's the number one thing. Otherwise, we can't do anything because there is no life. And then the saints need to be equipped. How do you equip them? With the word of God from the beginning, the whole counsel of God. Okay? And so that they could do the work of the Lord. And when we begin to see that, we're going to have a church standing. Okay? Think about the question. Okay? How old do you think this church is, and how old do you think you are? As soon as you ask those two questions, you're going to probably thinking already, am I helping this church to mature, or am I kind of like lower the average of this church? Do you know what I mean? And that's not a bad thing to think about. I want to share Colossians, which is a book that was written around a similar time, Ephesians and Colossians. Okay, and Philippians and Philemon, these four books is known as the prison epistles. Paul is in prison. Now think with me. He's not vacationing somewhere writing this, and he's in Rome, and he doesn't even know whether his life will continue or not. And this is way after writing Romans. He's mature, and he loves the church. And listen to this, Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Right above that, there's a huge section about Christology, which means theology of Christ, known as the supremacy of Christ. Christ is, he's the creator. He's the sustainer. He's the consummator. He's the head of the church. Now, Paul shares his heart toward the church. Listen to this. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, church. Okay, he rejoices in his suffering for the church. And in my flesh, I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction. Christ's suffering, I fill up to my body. And he's saying, I rejoice. Okay, and for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known. Okay. Do you see it? He loves his church, and he fills his life with afflictions which belongs to Christ for the sake of the word of God fully known to you. Verse 26, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery. What is the mystery? What is the gospel? What is the full counsel of God? Which is Christ in you. Okay. For that, he fills his life with afflictions and he rejoices over it. The hope of glory. And listen to this, verse 28. Him we proclaim, Christ we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom. You know what the role of a teaching pastor is? To warn you. To warn you. If you are lukewarm and be faked as a Christian, you'll be greatly disappointed. You are in great, grave danger. We need to continue to warn them. You know you're going to be standing before the Lord. You know that, right? Every single one of you will be responsible for your life that God has given you. There's going to be a day we're going to be standing before the Lord, and we will be judged. Okay? I need to continue to warn you. And there is no way that we'll be standing before him as it is, because we are full of sin and we are haters of God. I need to continue to warn you and teach you and teach the full counsel of God. Without it, you're wasting your life and you're heading toward destruction. Right? That's what Paul does in prison. Warning everyone, teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature or complete in Christ. And for this, I toil. I love this. I love this section. Can you just look at me? I think what Paul wants to do is a great thing, isn't it? To teach the full counsel of God to the people. Lead people to right direction. Why is there a suffering? Why is there toiling? It's amazing if you think about it, right? You know, this is my third worship service. Right after this, I'm going to have a Bible study. At 6 o'clock, I plan to have a bi-weekly gathering with our discipleship training leaders. So I'll be here till maybe 8 o'clock. And you know what? I don't think it's that bad, actually. I'll gladly do that because I know my calling is to equip the saints of God, to equip the saints of God so that you will mature and you will perfect, so you do not remain as an infant and waste your life and heading toward destruction. And that's what my calling is. And to that end, I don't even think it is suffering. I'm ready to toil, actually. I'm ready to sweat. I'm ready to do that. And I'm sharing this because I want you to do the same. Okay? If you know the whole counsel of God, if the church is eternal and everything that is not eternal will be eternally outdated, don't live for the things that's going to be outdated. That will be a foolish thing, but live for something that will last forever. Isn't that what the scripture is continuously speaking to people? You should live and devote for something that matters, worthy of the calling. Do you see it? One more. This is a well-known passage, but I was just so pleasantly surprised this week as I was studying the Word of God. If I am not being equipped each week, I don't think I'm ready to equip you. Do you agree? And so much of my time is devoted to equipping myself and studying the Word of God. And I think that's the right way to handle my life as a pastor, as a teacher. Okay? This week I saw probably the verse that we know very, very well. I know this verse really well, I thought, but I found something really, really interesting. Okay? 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture, Bible, is breathed out by God. Theopneumatos. Bible breathed out his life, okay, which is profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. We know this part, but verse 17, that the man of God, saints, you, okay, may be complete. Okay, comma, and equipped, same word. You may be mature, complete, and equipped for the work of the Lord. Do you see it? It's the same principle that we see in Ephesians. If you're not equipped, you remain as an infant, and you will die as an infant. That's not a fun place to be. The reason I'm sharing this is this. This church needs you, saints, and you need the church. And the ministry of the church, we are devoted to equip the saints of God so that you could do the work of the Lord, so that you will mature and you will complete, so that we could build the church, and perhaps we will see the unity in this church, and we will see the knowledge of the Son of God. And this church will mature to the full stature of Christ, and people see new heart. Maybe they will begin to smell and see that Christ-likeness in this church. Man, there is hope in this church. Man, there is a maturity in this church. Man, there is a love in this church. If you do your own thing, if you continue to not commit to the teaching of the Word of God, you remain as an infant, but you're aging. You go to church 20 years, but you're an infant. That's not a pretty picture, people. Very difficult, people. Don't do that. But this church is committed to equip the saints of God so that you and I could build a church together. What is so striking is this. Didn't we say, Jesus said, I will build my church? Right? Jesus is building his church. But how do you do that? His body, church, equipping the saints of God so that you will be complete and mature, so that you will do the work of the Lord. Amen. How many of you sense something bad? I know you may knew this, but my guess is most of you did know this. If the Spirit speaks to you, okay, on this first Sunday of Hicksville Ministry, New Heart Ministry at Hicksville, I just pray that you will be devoted to be equipped, so that you will continue to be perfected and mature, so that you could build a church for the glory of Christ. Okay? Spiritual babies. Tim Keller shares three characteristics of babies. Okay? There are more, but I think I just, you know, summarize three for you. Okay? See if you're a baby or you're a grown up. Number one, babies are not discerning. Okay? Babies don't know food and poison. Babies don't know what is fresh and what is rotten. Is that true? They're not discerning. Oh, okay. Well, babies don't know, right? Spiritually, same thing. If you remain as a baby, you don't even know what's food and what's poison to you. You listen to anything. So many people look for some sort of food out there somewhere which is not scriptural, and you cannot discern it because you cannot discern it. Without scripture in your mind and your heart, you won't be able to discern it at all. You will, you know, eat poison, and you're going to invite other people to eat poison. Okay? That's very dangerous. Spiritual babies are not discerning. Secondly, babies are very self-centered. They don't really care whether your parents are tired or not. When they're uncomfortable, they're going to cry. When they're hungry, they're going to cry. When they're unhappy, they're going to cry. They're going to make their emotion known. They're very, very self-centered, and all they care about is themselves. But as you mature, you begin to think about your parents. You begin to think about your fellow siblings. You begin to think about the lost, right? And thirdly, spiritual babies are not very steady. I've seen babies cry and then laugh next minute, okay? They go back and forth. Very unstable, very unsteady. My brothers and sisters, this church would like to equip the saints of God so that we could do the ministry of the Lord together, so that we could see Christ-centered church being built here in Hicksville. Amen. I just pray that the Spirit of God will speak to your heart. You could go to church all your life, like myself, 50 years, and you could still be a baby. I don't know how that's possible, though. Right? Babies never stay as a baby. Last, sorry about that. Yeah, right here. People, we cannot make our own church. Church is the body of Christ. John Calvin, one of the most famous reformer, shares, and I shared this last week, if church does not have sound teaching, if a church does not have exposition of the scripture, it is not a church. You don't just go to church and feel good and come back and you went to church. Church needs to have a sound teaching of the scripture, which equips you, an exposition of the word. And he added two more. Church discipline. In other words, church is the household of God. This is the holy temple of God. It needs to keep pure. Okay? And baptism and the Lord's table, which is a sacrament. If any of those are missing, that is not a church. I just want to close, okay? If you would just look at me on this first Sunday. First Sunday of New Heart here at Hicksville. God wants to build his church, and he's going to build his church. And that's going to happen through equipping the saints of God. Okay? Equipping the saints of God. You and I need to be equipped, perfected, and prepared for the work of the Lord so that we could build a church together. Can you imagine you go to the hospital instead of I go? Can you imagine if there is someone who's not coming because struggling? Instead of, I need to make the actual phone calls and visitations, you do that. Can you imagine newcomers come, you are the one who runs to them and embrace them. Can you imagine? We have two Sunday schools. We're in need of teachers, right? And you serve them. Can you imagine? You feed other people. Can you imagine? That's going to be a church. If the pastor and the professional leaders try to do everything, this church will never mature. It'll never be a biblical church. But God wants to build his church. As the church equip you with the word of God and the spirit of God. Let's pray.